It's the Way of the Master radio pre-show mail call delivery bag. Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your emails, letters, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Message for you, son.
A letter for me.
You got mail.
You got some letters.
It's not spam.
Now, here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Thrill.
Well, let's see what's in the mail.
Where does it say in the Bible that if we don't win this to people, their blood is on our hands?
Oh. Whatever. Did you? What's Hank Hanegraaff's number? This is the Way of the Master Radio pre-show show. Please beep talk us. 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP. All right, I'm guessing it's Ezekiel, but hold on, I'm gonna give it a shot here. Hold on one second. Hey, Brainiac, you wanna grab a concordance and try to figure out where does it say that what the prophet said, my blood is not on your hands because I've done everything I can. What is that biblical reference? Could you work on that?
Sure.
All righty, dude. Thank you very much. We'll find out together, won't we? 1-877-282-BEEP. If you are not sure that you're saved, saved at wayofthemasterradio.com. If you have an idea for the program, please send it to idea@wayofthemasterradio.com.
Talking to my youth pastor, I talked to him about repentance, and he said, oh, you only need to believe in that repentance is a discipleship issue. Your lordship, salvation is what you're talking about. He says, that's not a requirement. Belief is.
Yeah. Well, he's wrong. Phrased that way. I don't know where that Bible verse is, but I know that that's wrong. Basically, what it says, the non... Go ahead and call it that. As if we've already just labeled lordship salvation as some sort of horrid doctrine. The reality is, lordship salvation, if you want to put it that way, that's the one that always existed. It's this modern-day introduced concept around 19... maybe the 50s, thanks to Lewis Sperry Schaefer, that we can be a carnal Christian, that you don't need to repent, you just need to believe. Well, sorry, what do you do with the 30 verses that say you must repent, that Jesus came preaching repentance? Furthermore, you can't believe if you don't repent. If you don't turn in repentance towards something to believe it, you must have both, and make no mistake about this. Let the line be drawn, and I am happy to stand on one side or the other. The Puritans made it. In fact, we were just reading a guy the other day, weren't we, who said something. Yeah, where's my repentance book? Do we have that repentance? It would basically say, Spurgeon probably said something like, make no mistake about it. A preacher who does not preach repentance is no gospel minister at all. You know what? We need to have this debate loud and clear. Now, I realize it's been going on. If you want to really dive into the issue, get John MacArthur's The Gospel According to Jesus. That was really the one that fired the shot into the evangelicalism that says you don't need to repent. Wow. Since when can we say, you know, Jesus, I want the forgiveness of sins and my sins. That's what I want. I want to be forgiven for something that I still love. That just doesn't even make sense. I want you to be my savior, but don't rule. That'll come in time. That's also confusing justification and sanctification, by the way. All right, you find it, dude? What verse is that?
Ezekiel chapter 3.
I was right! All right, what does it say? Oh, you got your Bible. Hey, remember how this works in radio. What's that thing right there? What is that called?
Microphone.
That's right. And in order for people to hear you, what must we do with the microphone?
Speak into it.
Attaboy. Why exactly do we call you the Brainiac? With this microphone thing? How many times? Are you like a child that needs to get your knuckles wrapped? Wait, sorry, you're not Catholic. Okay, what's the Ezekiel 3 thing say?
Ezekiel 3:16. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning nor speak to him to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand.
All righty, do. There you have it. Now, you might be saying, hey, that's Old Testament. That verse doesn't apply to us anymore. Perhaps not directly, but the principle, how can we deny that? He's told us to go preach the gospel. Repentance and faith, by the way. See how we coordinate things here at Way of the Master Radio? You have been commanded. You know that they're going to perish and go to hell. How can we not be held responsible for that? And if you're saying, whoa, that would just make me feel really guilty. Bingo. Time to start the show.
The Way of the Master Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Don't tell me you have Jesus. You are everything he was and everything he is and ever shall be.
You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible that said if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it.
You have attacked me, your children will pay for it.
We would not want a carpenter to show up at our house and just start smashing around with his tools without some kind of indication that he knew why he was there and what his plan and purpose was. And yet, in the realm of theology, there are people crashing and smashing around with all kinds of tools with no obvious indication of what in the world they're endeavoring to do.
It's time for The Way of the Master Radio with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, and Todd Friel.
Not gonna do it. Not going to do it. Self-control. Self-control. This is Way of the Master Radio, and we are going to have a free-for-all Friday. Let me take that back. We are going to have a free-for-all Friday if you call us. Otherwise, I'm going to spend the next 2 hours practicing self-control so I don't play more from the Todd Bentley the revival thingy down there that's got everybody's tongue twisted.
Bam!
I failed. Right there. See how long the self-control lasts? Please call 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Sorry for that. I have to confess, I kind of broke a little radio rule here. I put some food in my mouth about 30 seconds before the program began. But I'm telling you something, these things... Okay, they're kind of... wait a second. Now, just wait a...
Oh, sorry, I'm just having a moment of...
Now, just wait a second. There's smug. A big difference between being on... Like a...
Okay, let me see. This is Way of the Master Radio.
Actually eating the food... I had it swallowed. I even took a sip of water before we started.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of stuck. That's the problem with eating vegetarian.
You eat vegetarians? You cannibal?
I am right now. Are these things good?
What are they?
They're cinnipecans.
Oh. Cinnipa who?
Cinnipecans. And on the little bag here, it says living nuts. Gourmet vegan. There's an oxymoron for you. But this is pretty close. These nuts are not roasted or baked. They are germinated.
Of course not, because you don't want the nut to feel the pain.
Wait a second. They're germinated? You mean these have germs in them?
No. It's from the country.
Whew. And then dehydrated at low temps to maintain optimal nutrition and digestion. Ah! But they kind of get stuck in your throat a little bit. It's like drinking coffee, right? Don't eat ice cream and then try to talk into a microphone. You'll blow a bubble. And it'll actually pop on you, and then you get feedback, and nobody likes that. 1-877-LAW-GRACE.
Let me get that speck for you right there.
Please call. Eyes. Otherwise, this is going to continue for who knows how long.
They come on them now, God. Release the angels of revival and the angels of breakthrough.
What is that? This just makes me bonkers. Okay, I'm really looking forward. Monday, you're going to dig this on Monday. Mark Havel is the fellow from the country. I believe they call it England. Who used to be one of these guys who would do the healings and the slayings, and he knows how it's done because he's repented of all of that. And he's going to explain exactly what is going on at this Lakeland revival in Florida. But here's my question. What is this stuff?
Bam, bam, bam! Release revival anointing!
Release revival anointing. I mean, I know those words, release, let go, revival, an apparent breakout of a lot of people getting saved due to the movement of the Holy Spirit, anointing. I'm not so sure, but I don't know how those words all go together.
Release revival glory!
Didn't know there were different kinds.
Release revival anointing! Release revival glory!
You know what this is, though? You know what this is? I'm sure of this. Do you hear what's going on here? Now, imagine this would just keep going. Do you feel hypnotized?
Bam, bam, bam! Release revival anointing! Release revival glory! Release revival anointing! Release revival glory! Release revival anointing! Release revival glory! Hey!
That is hypnotic. Oh, these little tricksters. Do you hear it? If you are one of the types who falls under, you've got the type of brain that can fall underneath this hypnotic business, you might want to turn off your radio. Listen to this.
Bam, bam. Release revival anointing. Release revival glory.
The same
release revival anointing. Release revival glory. Release revival anointing. Release revival glory.
He'll be joining. Stop it. Hey, Tony. Tony. Come back, man. Have a Cinepicon.
No, thanks.
You'll spit and cough all over everything, but you'll come out of that stupor you're falling into.
That was weird.
Please call so we don't have to listen to this anymore. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Ah! And it'll give me time to get this taken care of. What is in this thing exactly? Ingredients, all organic.
Of course.
Pecans, yeah. Ooh, dates are in there. Cinnamon, nutmeg, vanilla extract. Boy, these can't be real good for you. Celtic sea salt. May contain shell fragments.
It's from World War II.
Those vegans.
The German part with World War II.
Oh, that's how it all ties together.
It's right there.
What would we do without you? 1-877-LAW-GRACE.
I can imagine, but my wife would go nuts.
You know, before the whole Lutheran thing, I don't think you would have come up with the German connection there.
No.
But now that you got yourself immersed. Hey, Brainiac. Rick.
Oh, here we go.
Rick.
Yeah.
Microphone, Rick.
Microphone, dude. Put your mouth to the mic.
He's learning.
Well, what happened to the microphone out there? You're not a mime. Talk.
I couldn't get to that one.
Why do you look like you've just been busted with your hand in the cookie jar? What were you doing out there? Are you okay?
Yeah, I was on the phone.
Here, wait a second. Here, eat one of these. Try one of those Cinepicons. I'm telling you, they're the bomb. Did you need to put your fingers on the other pieces? Was that necessary?
Cinema gun.
No idea what you're talking about. Dude, you and I were in Germany, and we did such a breakneck tour of the place. It was so stupid, filming the fourth season of Way of the Master. Do you remember the tree? What was that deal?
Yeah. Well, okay, outside the gate of Wittenberg, where Martin Luther burned the papal bull, they planted an oak tree. So this 400-some-year-old oak tree to commemorate Martin Luther reforming the church, and here I am leaning up against this oak tree. Hey, nice oak tree.
No clue.
No clue. Doing.
Come on, we're going to catch the trade.
Yeah, take a picture of me by this nice oak tree.
Release revival anointing! Release revival glory!
1-877,
stop that.
Law of grace. We were closer to Luther than you have ever been, Tony. Ha! Ah, and we're not Lutheran. How does that make you feel?
Hey, take it, take it!
Yeah, but
take
I'll see him in
take
heaven.
Take it!
I'll see him in heaven.
I read that Martin Luther has actually been sprung from purgatory.
Really?
No, it's true.
Was that the Pope thing?
Yeah, well, because, he was condemned to purgatory for an awfully long time, and I think they let him out. No, it wasn't a big to-do, but I'm almost certain that he's gone from there now.
Well, I don't know. I think if the Pope gets a vote, he's probably in hell.
1-877-LAW-GRACE. Stephen is in Iraq? Is that in this? Stephen?
Yes, sir.
You're in Iraq?
Currently, yes. That's what they tell me.
Dude, are you serving over there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Wow, we are so grateful for you. What are you doing there?
He's not vacationing, Todd.
Fighting terrorism, defending freedom.
Specifically, what are you doing?
Field artillery.
So. And what does that mean practically?
Big gun going boom.
And are you in danger?
Now it's the Lord on my side, definitely.
You are?
Yes, somewhat.
All right, be very careful, please.
Thank you.
Do you have a wife and children?
No.
All right.
I do not.
All right,
Still be careful, man.
Come home safely so you can find one and make some, okay?
Will do, just
all right.
For that reason. How about that?
What's up, dude?
Well, I got a question. Concerning evangelism, I mean, you've been witnessing to so many people on the radio and person to person. Is there ever a point throughout this that you don't get nervous anymore, that you just are cool with it, I guess?
I, you know, one, here's the only time when I don't get
the
yips is when you're just kind of doing it one right after the other. For instance, you go to Times Square in New York City, and you literally can just have a fistful of tracks and go, "Hi, you get one of these? It's a gospel track. Would you consider yourself to be a good?" And you can just and you just kind of get so caught up in it. Otherwise, Stephen, I have to confess to you, pretty much every single time, even for me, maybe it's different for other people, but even going through the Taco Bell drive-thru with a tract, giving it to them after you've made sure that they've given you the bean burrito with sour cream this time, then, you know, still just driving away as fast as possible. Dude, I got to confess, it still makes me nervous.
Well, okay.
That wasn't very comforting, was it?
All right.
do you ever pass out gospel tracts, Stephen?
Yes, I do.
And does it make you scared or nervous?
Yes, still.
Yeah, and you're over in Iraq fighting bad guys. Now, do you get scared when you're going out on duty?
Honestly, actually not as scared as when I'm passing out tracts.
Dude.
Really.
You know what? I
don't know. It doesn't make sense. It's not like they're going to kill me if I hand them a coin with the Ten Commandments on them.
Mostly. Dude, I know. Hey, Stephen, we'll be praying for you. Thank you very much, okay?
Thanks.
All right, dude, see ya.
Certainly, sir.
See ya. Goodbye.
Yeah, but you hand them that coin, dude, they could lose your job.
If you ever get a chance, I'll tell you, Ray will not. He will not, because this is all going to be completely different stuff here. He's not going to be talking about this at this little old conference that we are doing this fall, October 17th and 18th, called Deeper. But when we do Transformed, Ray talks about passing out gospel tracts in the checkout lane. And, I mean, what is the worst thing that they... Hey, did you get one of these? No, and I don't want one. Oh, he doesn't want one of my tracks. Oh, that's the worst. And yet we still are fearful, but we just have to do it anyway. By the way, you can learn more about Deeper if you go to deeperconference.com. Deeperconference.com. You can find out about hotels. It's in Atlanta, October 17th and 18th. Ken Ham, Paul Washer. How cool will that be, really? You got your Johnny Hunt going to be there preaching up a storm. Ray, Kirk, Easy, Marshall Foster, Scrub Boy. DeeperConference.com, 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Wow, how cool that Stephen would call in Iraq. Now, how cool is that? You call back any old time, Stephen. We'll be praying for you,
especially
dude,
with limited phone time they get.
I don't know how that works exactly, but that was clear as a bell. That was very, very cool. Arthur is in North Carolina streaming. Arthur, hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just listening about Steve from Iraq, and my question is somewhat like his in a different form. Basically, I stutter. My mind goes blank, and everything else when I'm trying to do it in person. But I find I have a good I'm good with writing it out. I was wondering about doing it online in online forums and how I should act on online forums when I'm doing it. That's my basic
dude,
question.
Dude, you know what? I say rock on. I got to tell you something. This is completely... How busy is the internet, and what sort of a world of opportunity is there on the internet? I was flipping by on the television, never lighting for more than 12 seconds, because I'm a guy. And they were going to do a news report about the police division that is now working... they hired more guys to do nothing but catch guys who are predators with little teenage kids, or little boys and little girls. And that's their full-time job. That's their beat. That's how they don't get flat feet, they get flat fingers. Just typing away, they're looking for stuff. It's huge out there. So, Arthur, you go, dude. How should you behave? You know what? About 1,000 times more gracious than typically the stuff that I see, I think it's called screed coming back the other way. I think deliver the truth in love. Make sure that your overall content, it's very tricky in writing. Err on the side of being cool and kind and nice and fun, as opposed to kind of pokey, sharp, fighty. Don't use any potty language. You wouldn't do that anyway, dude. Don't use anything that could possibly be read as being angry. And don't worry, you'll get plenty of people to respond, and you stay attitude. Way to go. Love that. Tim is in Oregon streaming. Tim, thank you very much for calling Way of the Master Radio. Tim?
Hello.
Hey, Tim.
How you doing?
Very good.
Good. Let's see. Wow, I'm a lame call after those ones. I listen to the show a lot. In fact, probably my wife and I listen to the podcast every single day. And early on, I know that when the show started, that you talked about how that you weren't going to have, you know, a theological bent or anything like that. And it's a good thing that you've got Tony there with you. But you have made reference to Finney several times. And I think that it's a little bit slanted, the angle that you're coming from. I don't think it's completely fair towards Finney. The one time that you spent the most time, about a year ago, you spent the most time in an episode talking about it. You ended it by agreeing with some Calvinists that he is a heretic. I don't think he fits the bill for what you would say is a heretic. I think there's things that you and I both would disagree with him on, but honestly, he's solid on the major issue.
I'll tell you right. What, dude, only because we are now going to go hear the music, crash, bang, boom. When we come back, I'll simply share with you why I think that the essentials are not there. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's Way of the Master Radio.
If you like using the Million Dollar Bill track, you'll be pleased to know that we now have a 4th of July Million Dollar Bill. This is very patriotic, with a picture of a red, white, and blue and Thomas Jefferson on the front with Happy 4th of July written on it. It's perfect for giving out on the 4th of July. It's the same thorough gospel presentation as the Million Dollar Bill, but this one is in full color. It's irresistible. So don't miss it. The 4th of July Million Dollar Bill, available at wearthemasterradio.com.
If you like worldnetdaily.com or townhall.com, you're going to love christianworldviewnetwork.com. If you're a geek or not, figure out how to use that favorites button and type in www.christianworldviewnetwork.com. Great articles. I mean, really great articles. And you'll find out about Worldview Weekend conferences, which go all over the country. Ravi Zacharias, David Noble, Ray Comfort, and our very own Growing Pain frequently on the tour. It's www.christianworldviewnetwork.com.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
It was once claimed there was no Assyrian king named Sargon, as recorded in Isaiah 20, because this name was not known in any other record. Then, Sargon's palace was discovered in Khorsabad, Iraq, the very event mentioned in Isaiah 20. His capture of Ashdod was recorded on the palace walls.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All!
This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
The problems with Finney. This is Way of the Master Radio. We are having a free-for-all Friday. The number here is 1-877-LAW-GRACE. 1-877...
Eat some more, did you?
Yeah, sure did. You know, here's the difference, though, between Brainiac and hip-hop. Right here.
All right.
Clearly a difference. When I offered those Cinepicons...
you've noticed? One's tall and scrawny, one not so much scrawny. I don't know what could give it away.
Quite honestly, I'll tell you why I like Rick in this instance. Way more than David. Because when I'm with Rick, I actually look like I actually might be able to take him. David, not so much.
Not so much, no.
But in this other instance, I offer the Cinepicons to Rick. He digs his little fingers, his little bony fingers right in there, touching his fingers with germs on them to the other Cinepicons that are in there. Hip-hop grabs it and pours them into the palm of his hands so that he doesn't have to touch any of the other ones.
Yes, because he's a germaphobe, just like
Some other
you.
People that exist. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. We're going to look up some quotes specifically about Charles Finney, but basically here's the problem, in my opinion, with Mr. Finney. It is that he, first of all, denies the concept of original sin. That's deeply problematic. I mean, it's not... I don't know that I would say it's just rank heresy, but it's typically connected to a lot of problems. But the big problem with Mr. Finney in his revivalistic ways is simply a redirecting of human efforts. It is at the very least semi-Pelagianistic, or even flat-out Pelagianism, which basically means you have the ability to convert yourself by simply taking your desires. You've got these abilities, you've got these things that you can do, and your efforts and your energies and your thoughts in your brain, and you've been directing them this way. Living for yourself, living for the world system, living for your job, living for fun, living for sex, living for rock and roll, if they had had such a thing back then. Now, what Mr. Finney said was we need to do services, revival services, and simply redirect their emotions. Not a true repentance, not a salvation experience, but a redirecting of their energies from worldly to godly. And that's all we need to do. Is redirect. And so the whole concept of conversion, of being born again, repentance and faith, and even though Finney preached some great stuff, there is absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, the fellow is very quotable. But underneath it was simply that magnificent language, not because it seems that he truly believed it, but that was the best language that he knew of to redirect their energies from worldly to godly. And so, in a sense, he preached those things, didn't believe those things, but he believed those things were being used to redirect them, not toward conversion, but simply toward acting like a Christian. That's the biggie. And we'll get some more quotes and we'll share them with you as we go here. 1-877-LOG-RACE, 1-877-LOG-RACE. That is the number. This is Lee in Georgia, where it's about 8,000 degrees humidity. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Hey, Lee, I'm very good. Thanks for calling, sir.
Good. I got a question for you. I saw something on TV last week that just really didn't sit well with me. There's a guy that comes on TV late at night, and he's talking about prophesying to people, and he offers, you know, this free prophecy pretty much every night. He's been doing this for years. And I noticed lately he's kind of changed up his little gimmick to where he has people call into this live teleconference thing that he has pretty much every morning at like 6 in the morning. So you can talk on the phone, and you can also log into this chat room that he has. Basically, what he's been doing is getting people to sow about, I think it's $58 in order to receive a prophecy from him and his, what he calls, company of prophets. This blew me away because I couldn't believe that this guy was actually charging. You know, I went on there just to see what it was about because I'm like, you know, I've been thinking for years, you know, I was raised in the Pentecostal church, so a lot of us kind of, you know, unfortunately have that notion that maybe these people actually are hearing from God.
Well, I don't think so. We get a word from God by reading the Bible, and somebody charging specifically $58, but Lee, here's what you don't understand. The number 58 is very biblical. You see, what you've got is the 12 disciples times 4 plus the Ten Commandments equals 58. So you can see the biblical significance almost as if it were the number 40 right there. We don't need any prophet, frankly, to tell us something outside of Scripture. What we need is all of Scripture, and that's everything we need. Dude, do what men do. Click, baby, click. Have a good weekend, Lee. Paul is in Ohio on Sirius Family Net. Paul, thank you very much for calling. Hello.
Hey, yeah, how you doing? Hey, my question would be this. Since in the Bible with Moses, the rock that followed Israel through the desert was Jesus, and, of course, Moses got in quite a bit of trouble when he disrespected that rock by striking it. Do you feel, in light of that, and when you flash forward to the New Testament, where Jesus is telling his disciples that in order for them to have life, they need to eat his body and drink his blood. And the majority of those disciples, after following him for almost 2 years, rejected that. Do you believe that the Eucharist is also Jesus?
Does the bread and wine turn into the body and blood of Jesus?
Yes.
No, sir, I don't believe that.
So, do you believe that the rock was Jesus in the Old Testament?
I have to confess to you, when you said that, I guess I wasn't familiar with that reference.
Are you joking with me?
No, I know, sir. I'm not. I could be wrong. You know, I could have forgotten. I'm not Hank Hanegraaff, so I don't remember everything. But I didn't realize that that was an allusion or any sort of metaphor or symbol or type or shadow of Jesus. I could go take a look, but I don't see the connection anyway, sir.
Well, the connection would be, since in the New Testament they talk about Jesus being the rock that followed Israel, and that Moses actually
Wait a second. What New Testament verse says Jesus was the rock that followed Israel?
It's in the New Testament. You got to excuse me, but I can't pick it up off the top of my head right now.
Paul, I could be wrong, but I am not familiar with any. I could be wrong, but I just Jesus was the rock that followed after Israel in the New Testament. I've never heard of such a verse.
Right. In the New Testament, they're quoting the Old Testament, and they're referring to the rock that followed Israel through the desert, and it was the same rock that Moses struck irreverently a couple of times, which cost Moses going into the Promised Land.
I don't even remember in the Old Testament a rock following after them.
Okay, well, let's leave it right there, but if you can look at that and take a look at that scripture, because it's in there. And I'm sorry I don't have the reference right in front of me, but it was a question that came up in my head, and I drive a truck for a living, so I just couldn't grab my Bible right away.
Well, Paul, if you find that verse, give me a shout. But here's why I don't believe that Jesus is the body and blood. When I eat it, it tastes like bread, and it sure tastes like grape juice or wine, depending on what denomination you're visiting. So it's still bread, and it's still wine. I don't see and to do I'm afraid I want to use the word incantation to change some elements. I just don't see that as being a biblical concept. Furthermore, when Jesus initiated the body, the Lord's Supper, a sacrifice, or a sacrament that we all celebrate in different ways and understandings, he was sitting right there. How could he become that bread or that body and blood in that bread and the wine when he was right there?
How could he make something out of nothing?
I just don't see it, friend. And furthermore, I don't see forgiveness of sins coming from elements. I see forgiveness of sins coming from Jesus, and it's a remembering of what he has done for us on the cross to forgive us our sins. And so everything about it to me... Uh-oh. Was that a Lutheran cough in the background?
So what about the part where it says, "This is my body"?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "I am the door." Was he the door? Thank you.
So God can't
1-877. I'm sorry.
What?
What's that?
So the Jesus, because he's been resurrected to heaven, can't be in of and around.
That's different, though. What Paul was talking about was transubstantiation.
Oh,
becoming.
Where it becomes the actual body.
You, Lutheran friend, are talking about consubstantiation.
Actually, no. That's
You're
different
not.
Too.
Without a distinction. So if you want to go with in, with, and under, okay.
I'll go with and under.
All right, just fine.
For 20, Art.
All righty then. I think that there's actually a fair argument for that, but not based on this is my body, this is my blood. I would be more inclined to take a closer look at that based on 1 Corinthians 10. I think there's maybe just a hint that there's something else going on there besides just representation. Maybe. But does it forgive sins? No. God forgives sins when we get saved, not by doing a thing. 1-877 Law Grace. Oh, what is this? Oh, 1 Corinthians 10. Okay, here it is, right here. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Okay, I didn't know what the verse that was. 1 Corinthians 10. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Okay, how would we tie that into the Lord's Supper? It's in 1 Corinthians 10. Let me take a look at it, dude. I still don't know how that would support the concept of transubstantiation, but let me take a look. 1-877-LAW-GRACE, 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Breanne is in Washington streaming. Hello, Breanne.
Hi, Todd.
Hello.
Okay. This is my question. My question is, right now at work, there's this guy that I'm interested in, and he's expressed that he's interested in me, too. He says he's a Christian. He went to a recent Joyce Meyer conference that was in town. He wants to get into ministry, and, you know, we share a lot of music, you know, music preferences. But I want to know, like, once, like, we're in a setting, like, outside of work, like, maybe going to coffee or something, how can I approach him on the subject and really find out how much of a Christian he is?
Ask him his conversion story. Ask him if he's born again. Ask him how often he reads his Bible. Ask him if Jesus is precious to him.
Okay.
Those would be some ones that I would be very curious about. And then my suggestion, Brienne, would be to, as you proceed in whatever form that this takes here, you want to make sure that would be the qualification, that he's a godly man, that he's growing in holiness, that he's soundly saved. I would also get some godly counsel from mom and dad, perhaps, if they're involved in your life. I would even listen to them. I would listen to any other godly people taking advice, because you always want to get godly counsel on the big decisions. Filter it with, he makes the biblical qualifications. Do you like him? There's a biggie. Have you prayed for wisdom, not for a special word? What's the fellow's name?
His name's Luke.
Yeah. So it's you don't do things like opening up your Bible to read your Bible in the morning and go, I open it up to the Gospel of Luke. Is that a sign? No. So you want to make sure that you just get godly counsel, pray for wisdom to make the right decision, and then you make the decision one way or the other, assuming, of course, that he asks you. Brianna, is your dad around?
No, I talked to my mom about it, though. I've been talking with her. She's been praying for me. I've been praying. It's been like a weird situation, but I'm trying to get it all figured out, and whatever's in God's will, like, even if I just have to stay friends with him, even if it doesn't go into anything but friends, as long as I can be friends with him, I'm good with that, because I like being friends with him. Yeah. I like being around him. So.
Yeah. Well, make sure that if you're going to have close friends, I think the rules are these. We can have friends who aren't Christians, but if we're going to have really good friends, they should be Christians. And any time that their influence, if they're not a Christian, is more than our influence on them, then we're in big trouble. We're doing it all the wrong way. So make sure that he's saved, get godly counsel, pray for wisdom, make sure that you like him, and then make a decision. Make decisions, decisions at wearthemasterradio.com, which is what this program is.
Well, the recent wave of books on atheism, the God debate, is heating up. The most significant question of all time is there a God or isn't there? How to Know God Exists is a book that argues the case for God with simple logic and common sense. If there is a God, surely he's made his presence known so that anyone, young or old, scholar or school child, can find him. More than just thought-provoking, this book will convince you that a belief in God is reasonable and rational, a matter of fact and not faith. How to Know God Exists, available through wearthemasterradio.com.
Hey, talk about a coincidence. We've got a brand new website sponsor at Wear the Master Radio, Hawkins Chevrolet. And I know Tom Hawkins, who happens to run a car dealer. Imagine the coincidence.
Yeah. It's not a coincidence. It's the same guy.
But the Tom Hawkins I know isn't a smarmy car guy.
You're correct. It's the same guy.
All righty. Brand new sponsor of Wear the Master Radio website, Hawkins Chevrolet. You can visit their website, HawkinsPrice.com. Not smarmy, no haggling. And maybe you just want to send them a note to say, hey, thanks very much for sponsoring our Wear the Master Radio website.
It's a mistake only you could make.
Feathers are modified reptilian scales, says evolutionist Richard Dawkins. However, this is impossible because scales are folds in skin, while feathers are complex structures with a barb, barbules, and hooks. Feathers also originate in a totally different way than scales.
Very interesting.
This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
Charles Finney quotes for your consideration. This is Way of the Master Radio. The number here on a free-for-all Friday is 1-877-LAW-GRACE, 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Charles Finney, regarding original sin, we deny that the human constitution is morally depraved. Huh? Some people will say, well, are you saying that a fertilized egg is sinful when it hasn't even committed a sin just because of what Adam did? Yes, that's right. Because his sin condemned everybody. It just filtered through everything. It's Romans 5. We are conceived in sin, born in sin. It is our nature. We are morally bankrupt, which is replete throughout Romans 3 and 4. justification based upon sanctification. This is what Charles Finney said. We see that if a righteous man forsake his righteousness and die in his sin, he must sink to hell. Whenever a Christian sins, he comes under condemnation and must repent and do his works or be lost. Well, that's just bonkers. You repent and trust. Your sins are forgiven. You grow in sanctification. Sometimes you goof up, but you don't need to be forgiven as you sin. Your sins are forgiven. You confess them, but they've already been forgiven when you repented. Those sins, Colossians 2, nailed to the cross. Gone! Regeneration implies an entire present change of moral character. That is a change from entire sinfulness to entire holiness. Again, this is Charles Finney. I can apply my efforts to looking holy. Entire sanctification. It is self-evident that entire obedience to God's law is possible on the ground of natural ability. No, it's not. That's why the law was given, to help us understand. The law can't save. The law helps us understand we need saving. And so you see deep problems with justification, original sin, the confusion with sanctification, the new birth, being born in Jesus Christ by Him, not by our efforts. That's the problem with Finney, despite the fact that he's got some magnificent quotable stuff. Oh, great evangelistic stuff, but he simply used it to kindle a fire and redirect energies, not because it was saving. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Now, regarding the Jesus in the rock following the Jews around, this is the best I got. I have to confess to you, I've never studied the issue. So to speak on it would just be stupid for me to do that. So I'm not going to. I will simply read to you, just quickly grabbing a footnote here from the MacArthur Study Bible. And this is what the text says. And the Jews that were in the wilderness, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Okay, that's the verse that just flat out escaped me. All right, so now I'm looking down at the little footnote. The Jews had a legend that the actual rock Moses struck followed them throughout their wilderness wanderings. That goes back to Exodus 17, but in the text it doesn't say that. Apparently, that was the Jewish legend. Now, it could have been true. I just don't know that it was recorded. I don't see it in the Old Testament. They believed that legend. Paul seems to be quoting it here as if it were true, but again, I want to study that some more. The Jews had a legend that the actual rock Moses struck followed them throughout their wilderness wanderings, providing water for them. Paul says they have a rock providing all they need, but it is Christ. So, best I can tell, once again, what we've got here is the symbolism of something being like something. But not that Jesus is an actual rock, nor is he actual bread or wine, if that's the connection you're trying to make. But, boy, that's a leap there, dude. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. Remember, I'm not Hank Hanegraaff. Ethan is in Kansas, and he's streaming. Ethan, hello.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, I'm a 16-year-old Methodist, and I am pretty new born-again, thanks to you and my brother. I'm going to a Methodist camp in 2 weeks from now, and they let you do open sermons. And the last 2 years I've been there, there's some open thinkers, sort of like the books I read of Way of the Master, and, you know, the free thinkers, as long as you have good intentions on earth, you'll go to heaven, so forth, so on. I just want key factors to point out in the Bible to use when I do a sermon and what I should focus on.
Well, how many minutes do you get to talk, dude?
I think it's unlimited as long as it's below, I'm an idiot, 30 minutes.
Wow, you got a long time.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what, if you want to do something topical or expository, which kind of go together. So you need to determine which way you're going to go with this. Am I just going to dive into a verse and open it up and explain it in every detail? Or am I going to try to teach a principle or a concept or a theology, and then you're going to find verses all over the place to support it?
The last one, the theology one.
All right, it sounds to me like you're concerned that the people going there aren't saved.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Dude, you can do with this as you see fit. What I would suggest you do is think about even using yourself to explain to them what you've learned over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is always a wonderful way, especially when you're going to be hanging out at camp with everybody instead of slinging it right at them, to say, hey, gang, I was here last year. I'm a different person here this year. Let me explain to you what's happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was going through life And I was thinking that if I just believed or if I just had good intentions, I'd be okay when all was said and done. But then I learned something. I learned that God is a little different than just, well, boys will be boys, girls will be girls, and he's just going to let everybody in. I learned that there's a day of judgment. And you can talk about it's appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. That God, the perfect representation of his character and nature, is the law of God. And when I realized, a fellow named Martin Luther said that it's like a mirror, and I held it up to myself, and you know what I saw? Not only did I not have good intentions, I had horrid intentions, and not only did I not do good things, I did terrible things. Let me tell you which ones I was doing. And you can make your way through the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can lay it out and share it that way, kind of pointing it at yourself. And then you can talk about the exceeding sinfulness of sin. That's why hell is just. Talk about the cross and what Jesus did there because he's kind. And the biblical response is repentance and faith.
Yep.
And being born again, dying to self, the law killed, and what it means, what that actually means. And then you can say, and so having learned that this last year and being transformed and changed, I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt it's true, and I'm a different man. And I would simply ask you today, not going to point a finger, examine yourself. Use this time today at this camp to go walking in the woods. Are you born again? Are you soundly saved? And call them unto salvation. And hope that they don't short sheet you.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Alright, thanks.
That's the way I would go at it, dude. Way to go, young man. 16? Sounds like he's 36. 1-877 Law Grace. It's a free for all Friday. WANN is what it says on my computer. Juan? Is that right?
Yes.
Hey, how do you do?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm a little nervous, so please forgive me.
You just sound fine. You'll do great.
I have a question for you. It's about sinful nature.
Sure.
I emailed a document on that. It's by Winky Prattney. I really don't believe in it because I've seen like of Adam and Eve, how they didn't have a sinful nature when they sinned, and neither did Satan. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, they didn't have a sinful nature when they sinned. They had the potential to sin.
Yeah.
And then, just like God promised, if you sin, you will die. And that's exactly what happened. And the curse began then once they sinned.
Uh-huh.
Satan is a different deal, and we've got to be careful how much we say about Satan because we don't know a lot about Satan.
Yeah.
But apparently the angels in heaven, all we can say is at least at that time, mm-hmm. had the ability clearly to rebel and sin. They did. I wouldn't compare humans, though, to angelic beings, especially when they're so little written.
Even Adam and Eve?
Well, what I would do with Adam and Eve is I would run to Romans chapter 5 to get a really good explanation of what Adam was all about.
Uh-huh.
That because of Adam, sin entered the world. Death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sinned.
Yeah.
And so what we see is what we call original sin or the Adamic nature. It's
uh-huh.
it's what we are because we're in this fallen time period too, Juan.
Yeah.
That's why. It's the now not yet theology. We are now seen as righteous, but we're not yet perfect. We're not yet holy.
Yes.
And so everybody until redemption complete happens when we all go to heaven,
uh-huh.
we are born that way. That's who we are. Now, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned and they had babies, they would have still inherited that good nature.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't, and so we've all got that crummy nature.
Could I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir.
You know, in Ephesians 2:3, how it says we're born children of wrath.
Right.
Shouldn't that be compared to Ephesians 2:1, where it says man's own trespasses and sin?
Compared in what way, sir?
Well, it shows how when it shows that we choose to sin, shouldn't that by nature make us a children of wrath by sinning, by choosing to sin? No, or am I wrong in that?
Well, they're both.
They're both?
Oh, sure. It's both. It's our character, it's in our nature, and it's our corrupt. And we are sinners, too, because of Adam. We've inherited what he did, we got. And we, if you will, get credit for what he did, too.
Okay.
That's what Romans 5 is about. And then Ephesians 2 really opens that up, too. It's exactly that. It's because of that's who we are, that's what we do, and we are born children of wrath.
Okay.
Okay?
Huh. Okay. I think I understand it. I'm just little confused on the issue. That's all.
Okay, I'm looking for an analogy here, and I don't know that this will be helpful or not. If you will, and this is, I might want to take this one back. Okay, Juan.
Okay.
It's like two blonde haired people.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to have blonde haired babies.
Okay.
All right. But one of them goes and they sinned and their hair got changed to red. And now they're not having blonde-haired babies. They're always having red-haired babies because that's what they are now.
Okay.
They're no longer blonde. They're redheaded, so everything that they have is redheaded. And it's because they've fallen from that blonde position to the redheaded position. Adam and Eve were perfect, if you will, with the ability to choose. And because they chose, everything that they did now was tainted. Not only human beings, but the curse on the world.
Mm-hmm.
That groans, the animals, plant, everything
so
is
that,
because of them.
So when a child's born, I mean, it's really possible that they're born a sinner already, even though they're just a baby?
Actually, before they were born, when they were conceived, that's what Psalm 51 talks about. In sin was I born, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. And that, again, is that whole, we inherited everything from Adam.
So he was talking about his mom when she was sinning and he was the result of the sin? Or?
No, because that wouldn't make any sense in that psalm when he's confessing his own sin. He's not talking about his mom's sin.
Uh-huh.
He's talking not about she was having sex out of marriage. No,
uh-huh.
When he was conceived, right away he's a sinner.
Uh-huh.
In sin was I born, in iniquity. That I am conceived a sinner.
Uh-huh.
That's what I am. That's what's going on in the text.
Now, when you say iniquity, is there a big difference between being shapen in iniquity and iniquity being shapen in us?
Yes, there would be. Yes, because we don't do sins; we are sins.
Huh.
Our sins are simply a manifestation of our nature.
Okay.
We aren't labeled a sinner because we do bad things. We do bad things because we're bad people. We're bad sinners.
That I do agree with. Yeah. I agree with that.
It's who we are. Juan, how old are you?
I am 36.
Do you have children?
Yes, I have one child.
Aha. Uh-huh. How old is your child?
He is 2 years old.
Yes. Have you had to teach your child how to sin yet?
No.
They're little monsters. They're little sinners.
Oh, I love being a father. I really do.
It's a great deal. Hey, dude, thanks very much for the phone call, all right?
All right, thank you.
See you, man. Keep wrestling with the scriptures. That's good stuff that you're dealing with there. John is in California. John, hello.
How you doing?
Swell.
Outstanding. I have a bone to pick with you, my friend.
You got to pick it quickly, sir.
Okay. I am honestly, truly irked when you go on about contemporary Christian music. I'm in a Baptist church in Gilroy, and we play a lot of contemporary Christian music, as well as hymns. And I find that stuff uplifting even so.
Well, dude, I don't condemn all contemporary Christian music, just most of it. No, there's plenty of good stuff that's out there. As long as it's biblically based and it's exalting Jesus, it's theologically sound. Dude, I think Chris Tomlin is writing great stuff. Matt Redman, the Donnie and Marie, that's the one. The rest, not so good. It's hour one of Way of the Master Radio.